Hey, you want that to go?
Time for some takeouts on stories that we're following this week. And Tiger Woods has been engulfed with scandal lately amid numerous allegations.
Really?
Yeah, really. You may not have heard about this.
No kidding.
But there are allegations that he cheated often on his wife. I'm sure his wife is disappointed. His fans are disappointed. But also disappointed are Nike, Gillette, and Gatorade.
I'm Tiger Woods.
See, five's better than three.
Not in golf.
Yeah, but in real sports.
Whatever.
When you're the greatest golfer on earth, what's next?
I love that.
New Gatorade Tiger.
He cheated on Gatorade.
We have Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Setting all of the other aspects of this aside, Louise, is Tiger Woods going to lose these endorsements?
Morning. It's unclear, but what we do know, it came out yesterday, Nielsen did a study that was reported in Bloomberg that found that he has not been in any TV commercials since November 29th. So that was 2 days after that car accident that brought all of these revelations to light. And though no advertisers have publicly said they have canceled his contract, they've stopped showing the ads. So this is companies like Accenture, you mentioned Gatorade, Nike, Electronic Arts, Gillette. These are some big name companies that have just put a halt on his image.
Within a few days, Tiger Woods has gone from being arguably one of the most lucrative brand names in the world.
Right.
To a questionable asset.
Right.
Except to TMZ. I think he's helping out TMZ.
Right. He's moved from the commercial time to the news broadcast gossip time. But certainly, news broadcasts don't pay as much as commercials do. By October, the estimate is that he'd made about $1 billion in the course of his career through his endorsements and prize winnings. It's about $110 million a year, mostly from endorsements. He was in 15 different advertisements, commercials since June. So he was just all over the commercial airtime.
Well, let's hope he's put it into a good savings account. That's Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times.
You know, he's also done an incredible thing for golf itself. I mean, the revenues of all golfers have gone huge. So if that should change, it's a real bellwether for golf itself. So woe to nations for our next takeout in the Eurozone that begin with the letter I. Okay, for our next takeout, after poor collapsed Iceland, Ireland, according to the International Monetary Fund, it's facing the worst recession in the developed world. Today, Ireland unveils a national budget which reflects these painful realities, that the days of the so-called Celtic Tiger are long gone. The BBC's Ireland correspondent Mark Simpson joins us now from Dublin. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
And this budget, how does it reflect the grim economic realities, and what sort of social upheavals are, aligning that budget?
Well, they're already calling it Black Wednesday here in Ireland. What we're hoping to avoid is cuts across the board, but it doesn't look as if that's going to be likely. It looks as if the Irish government is going to announce public sector pay cuts of around 6% across the board. That's teachers, nurses, members of the police force here in Ireland. Unemployment benefit, it's going to go down. Child benefit, it's going to go down by even 10%. Even disability benefit is going down. You talked about the Celtic Tiger. I think we're going to get a lot of Celtic anger later on here today in Dublin.
And what can the Irish economy do to turn itself around, and how dependent is it on the public sector?
Well, the public sector is about 20%
Wow.
of the economy here, so it's a big slice of the economy. But there needs to be savings done. I mean, Ireland's budget deficit is running at about 12%. It needs to get down to about 3% to fit in with its European partners. They've been given till 2014 to do that. So they're going to have to be some hard, hard decisions made, and that's going to start this afternoon in Ireland.
And when you say they've been given until 2014 to do that, is that the International Monetary Fund that's dictating that economic policy?
No, that's European Union rules.
Uh-huh.
And of course, Ireland, as you say, its reputation used to be so good across the world with this Celtic Tiger economy. It was the envy of Europe. Now it's having to go cap in hand to the European Central Bank and look for a bailout. So its reputation has been dragged through the mud. And today's an attempt for a budget, not just for an internal audience, but an external audience, for Ireland to say to the rest of Europe, actually to say to the rest of the world, it's trying to sort this economy out.
And, of course, it also relates to unity within Europe as Europe tries to stay together as an economic entity. These kinds of upheavals only create disunity among the nations. Mark Simpson, BBC Ireland correspondent in Dublin, reporting on the new budget in the economically distressed nation of Ireland.
Our last takeout this hour comes from you. Yesterday, we told you that 52,000 temporary jobs were added in November. And we hear that some economists think freelance work may make up to 25% of the American workforce. With statistics like those, it's no surprise that several people who reached us were freelancers. Stephanie's one of them, and she says being unemployed is a little harder if you didn't have a full-time job to begin with.
I work in New Jersey as a consultant, but I'm out of Pennsylvania. This summer, out of work, I was unable to collect unemployment insurance because I don't know why. I pay into it, and I can't get it out.
Wow, tough times for freelancers. And if you're a journalist, you're all of us are thinking about the potential for freelancing. Here's what Leslie Collins emailed us. I was freelancing for an Atlanta magazine, and the economy turned a good situation into a mess. The owners of the magazine stopped paying the writers. This resulted in lawsuits, distrust, general bad tastes. I think this is a good time to warn freelancers, make sure you have a solid contract.
That's good advice. Another one of you had a much different take on the benefits of being your own boss. Here's Bob in Kansas.
The flip side of the coin to being a self-contractor, especially in the home service industry, is you can churn in as little amount as possible to the government to keep the rest for cash.
Now, we can only assume that Bob is talking about maximizing his exemptions on his W-2 form, that he's not actually doing an IRS scam, but who knows? Bob, the IRS might be listening to the program, and we won't tell them how to get in touch with you, all right?
What about you? Are you a freelancer who feels left out of the system? Or what's? Tell us what's great about being your own boss. Anything else you want to talk about, we're always on at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Or you can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Coming up, we go to Iraq. Violence yesterday killed more than 100 people there. And we're wondering if early elections are the best course for a country as volatile as Iraq. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.